I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
This black and white patrol car has an overhead valve V8 engine. It develops 325 horsepower at 4,800 RPMs. It accelerates from 0 to 60 in 7 seconds. It has a top speed of 120 miles an hour. It's equipped with a multi-channel DFE radio, an electronic siren capable of emitting 3 variables, wail, yelp, and alert. It also serves as an outside radio speaker and a public address system. The automobile has 2 shotgun racks, one attached to the bottom portion of the front seat, one in the vehicle trunk. Attached to the middle of the dash, illuminated by a single bulb, is a hot sheet desk, fastened to which you will always make sure is the latest one off the teletype before you ever roll.
Yes, sir.
It's your life insurance and mine. You take care of it, it'll take care of you.
Yes, sir. You want me to drive?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the classic TV series Adam 12. Police officer Mike Hancock will join us to talk about the impact this legendary crime drama has had on real-life law enforcement. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time.
One Adam 12, a 415 man with a gun. One Adam 12, no warrant. Lincoln X-ray, Ida 483. One Adam 12, a 415 fight group with chains and knives.
Today on the TV Time Machine, we trade in our magical transport to patrol a unique section of classic TV history in an LAPD cruiser known as Adam 12. In this very special edition of our program, we are proud to welcome real-life police officer Mike Hancock, whose career in law enforcement was greatly inspired by this classic TV crime drama. Over the next few segments, Mike Hancock will not only help us relive virtually every aspect of this classic television series, but will also talk about how the fictional adventures of LAPD officers Molloy and Reed inspired literally thousands of young men and women to enter the field of law enforcement. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to go Code 3, feel free to read us our rights as we slip from the restraints of the present to experience a law and order past. Mike, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
My pleasure, Jim.
Hey, Mike, what are your earliest recollections watching Adam 12 as a boy?
I think just, you know, the same story as a lot of people have that have watched the show, that, you know, warm summer night, laying on the living room floor, waiting for Adam 12 to come on, and it was on, and you just looked at it, and you watched it, and you're just like, those guys are just like almost superheroes, you know, and it just fascinated me to no end. I just wouldn't miss it.
What was it about the show that captivated you so much?
I think it just the human side of them, you know, Kent McCord and Martin Milner, they played those roles so well. And you just, I mean, even to this day, sometimes you think that they're real police officers. in just the interaction between the two of them, in the way they handled situations. I think Jack Webb always wanted to show the human side of police officers, and I think that had a lot to do with it.
Now, you mentioned Jack Webb. Explain to our audience who Jack Webb, for folks who don't remember him, who he was and what he contributed to the show.
Well, most people know him as Sergeant Joe Friday from the Dragnet series, and that started off way back in the 50s. Now, you know, keep in mind, I'm not an expert on this stuff, but obviously, you know, I watch a lot of it and whatnot. But he started the show, Adam 12. Some say it was a spinoff from Dragnet, and actually in a few of the Dragnet episodes, Martin Milner and Kent McCord did cameo roles in her. Kent McCord did three or four, never being Officer Reed, different officers, but he was always, you know, uniformed officer, a walk-on bit role. But I think Jack saw something in him that was like, you know, this guy needs to be one of my officers, you know. So he was executive producer. His production company actually produced the show, Mark Five, and then he went on to make Emergency, Squad 51, and he actually, from what I've read, tried to mimic as close as he could the Adam 12 success, and so he, you know, the two actors that played that, Mantooth and I can't remember the other guy's name, but
Kevin Tye.
Yeah, right. He actually, Kevin Tye, I believe, had darker hair, and they lightened it to look more like the Strawberry Fox, Martin Milner.
I didn't know that.
And so, you know, he tried to draw off of that success, and obviously, you know, something worked because it was a pretty successful show in itself.
One thing that Jack Webb particularly prided himself on was the authenticity of his TV shows. How authentic was Adam 12?
It was probably the cops of the day, without actually being out with real police officers. I mean, he was so attention to detail. Even the can lights on top, the Creo T2 can lights, he made sure that those were correct. Because the way they're set up is each can light has its own independent flash unit right in the light. And so it wasn't a true wig-wag where they would wig-wag back and forth, not till like later years. And so even things like that, he had, you know, that had to be exactly like they were. And I think when the series started off, they would actually use some actual police cars until later years when the show became more of a success, when they would purchase their own cars, the production company, but he would still make sure all the equipment was exact the way it was supposed to be for LAPD. You know, different things like that. He was just right, you know, attention to detail was incredible.
How much do you think Jack Webb contributed to law enforcement recruitment on the LAPD and also in general in the entire country?
Oh, my gosh. You know, sometimes I sit back and think just how many men and women are out there that are police officers or became police officers that never would have. The number has to be staggering. And you know, this is one of the things I write on the website, too, about just Kent McCord and Martin Milner, just how many lives that they have saved by doing this show. Because, you know, myself, many others have literally saved a life that may have not been there had we not gone into law enforcement because of the show. And I get emails daily, weekly from officers that became police officers because of this show and Jack Webb. So the numbers has to be staggering. Worldwide, too. I this is not just the United States. I mean,
yes.
The show is huge. In Europe as well. I get emails from all over the world, people going, oh, you know, I love that show. I, you know, watched it when I was a kid. I became a police officer because of it. So it's really amazing.
What was it about Adam 12 that inspired you to become a police officer?
I think just the excitement of the job, the human side of being able to help people, being a part of the community, looking snazzy in uniform never hurts. There was a lot of different factors, but I think just the excitement factor, you kind of quickly learn that you can go from sheer boredom to incredible excitement in a matter of seconds in police work. But, you know, obviously it's a TV show, so they have to keep it going for half an hour. But, I think it was just the way the two interacted with each other. You know, you could have fun, but it was serious, it was heartbreaking, everything all wrapped up into one.
Now, did you have an aha moment that you suddenly realized you wanted to become a police officer, or did it evolve over time?
I think it was that's what I want to do. You know, as soon as I thought, I often say police officers are born, because it's almost something that's in you from the start, and it may just be a catalyst, something like this, that sets it off. But it's not everybody can do the job. It's very hard, but very rewarding at the same time. Very thankless, but they're very thankful too. I think that may have just been the catalyst. I think it was always in me, but that just possibly set off. But I don't know for sure.
Well, I think it's a thankless job when people don't need you. Then they're very thankful when they need you.
Right, yeah. We often used to say, we don't get called to family picnics to have a piece of chicken. It's to break up a fight or something. So,
as a real-life police officer, how accurate is Adam 12?
Well, it's hard to say because, you know, that was before my time as far as police work goes, and police work evolves yearly, as far as equipment, tactics, that type of thing. But I would say that even today, a lot of the subject matter that was in the show and their tactics are still used today in rural police work. I have had training officers contact me that actually show episodes of the show to their cadets, specific ones that will show different tactics that they use that they still use today.
Wow.
So it was very important.
What surprised you most when you entered the field of law enforcement?
Oh, boy. Probably the emotional demands. You go through the whole range, and it's a very tough job. Like we had discussed, usually thankless. Most of the time, but you're there not to be thanked and to be patted on the back. You're there to do a job. And I think most police officers, they love what they do, and that's what keeps them going.
In terms of Adam 12, which was filmed approximately 40 years ago, what has changed most about technology and law enforcement since the 70s?
Well, cages.
Right.
When I have my car to show, people are like, "Well, where's the cage? Where's the this?" and it's like, "Well, it was a different world back then. You had a single radio. Most of the time, they didn't have walkie-talkies. They're going on a foot chase, and they're out there. No means of communication. They had a hot sheet desk with a hot sheet that they would put in at the beginning of their shift to show what cars were stolen for that day.
Right.
And now it's, all internet and digital and just night and day difference. And when I retired, we even didn't have nearly anything that they have now.
You mentioned the emotional demands of being a police officer. What was the most satisfying part of being in law enforcement?
I think just helping someone. For me personally, when you can help somebody in need, it's very satisfying to know that you actually helped a fellow human being either live or, you know, get out of a bad situation or whatever.
Was there ever a moment when you were on duty and something happened and you thought, wait a minute, they never showed this on Adam 12? <You know? laughs> I didn't expect this.
Quite a few times. You know, when you're getting punched by, you know, trying to arrest somebody that doesn't want to go to jail because they've had, you know, a lot too many, or, you know, bitten, scratched, pulled, you know, kicked, I mean, you name it, you know, stuff thrown at you. It's just, I don't want to say you get used to it, but it's, you know, it hones your reflexes.
The show ran for 7 seasons. It's one of those few shows that actually either maintained its quality or actually got better as it got older, which is rare. Is there a particular season or episode or set of episodes that are your favorites?
I think, well, and I want to say the earlier years, not just because the Adam 12 replica I have is a 69, but it just seemed like season 2, season 3 is when he really started gelling. You know, I mean, it really just, it almost felt like it was just coming so natural to them. They weren't, you know, it wasn't a scripted thing. I mean, that's what it felt like. And so I think seasons 2, 3 are some of my favorites. In the later years, you know, they tend to start going off into different, you know, when Jim Reed went into undercover work and this kind of, you know what I mean?
Right.
It kind of started getting away from, I think, what a lot of fans liked, and that was those two working together, you know, doing the street patrol bit, because I had heard that Jack Webb was trying to sell a season 8 to NBC, but the ratings were starting to drop off, and they're like, well, we don't know. And from what I understand, the premise of the show was Malloy was going to go into being a desk sergeant. Reed was going to become a road patrol, and then they were going to partner him up with a female officer. And then they would, you know, go off of that premise. Obviously, it never got to that, but, you know, all the Adam 12 fans that I've talked to, you know, wish there's 150 seasons.
Right.
You know, it just can never get enough of it. And I'm sure each individual person has their favorite episodes or seasons or that type of thing. And so I think it's really individual thing that people like.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with police officer Mike Hancock, proprietor of the website OneAdam12-OneAdam12.com, right here on the TV Time Machine.